but at least get a flavor of some of the things that we missed. And then we'll get back to, you know, some of the more Gitin relevance. So it goes pretty quickly as well. At tomorrow's regular schedule. Welcome back. Feeling better? Okay, good. I'll try to call the list again on maybe on Tuesday. But tomorrow we have regular schedule. And again, next week, again, we'll probably have to flip the Monday because I'm going to be away over the weekend. I'm not going to be back by Sunday, but we'll talk about that at the end of the week. And then normally we should, you know, mostly get back to pretty normal schedule. Okay, so Akiva, since you're back, you know. So, okay, so I wanted to fill in a few things in the beginning of the sectors. So let's just start from, so the Mishnah, of course, says, I maybe get, you know, Mimedina Sayam. We talked already about why it is that, the Mishnah begins with Dindar Abanan, Befalinaktam, kind of, you know, begins in the middle, or, you know, on a drabana note, when there's so many fundamental daraisa dinim, and that's the reason that we, didn't begin with the beginning. We started with the end, the last couple of sugyas in Amagarish, and then the big meaty topic of Edi Masira and Edi Chasima, of which there's still certainly much more, but you can see it's all over the Masechta and all over the Shas. But now we want to, you know, catch up with some of these dinim. So why it is that we begin with that is something I believe that we talked about in the very early Tosas Shans, that's also quoted in some of the Mefarshim and the Mishnayos and others, who suggest that, you know, maybe this is a kind of a, you know, also a reference or an implicit reference to, get me Abba, you know, things of that sort. Very, very interesting ideas. But either way, it's a curious question and something which, you know, we should be on the lookout for more answers, because starting again, why Masechtas start where they start is always a puzzle. Some Rishonim consider it to be a significant puzzle. You know, usually Bali Tosis joined that issue, Tosis in the beginning of Shabbos and other places. Gives, you know, some significance to the beginning of Masechtas. Other Rishonim thought much less, you know, of the issue. There's a methodological, you know, assumption question as well. But either way, starting on such a Dindar Abanan, you know, Lishma, Kiyum Chosamos, etc., is really, peculiar. And giving so much space in the first parak to Befanei Nachtam, is also a very curious editorial decision. But either way, I think part of the answer, in addition to some of the things that we've already said, is that, you know, the questions of Lishma and Kiyum Chosamos end up, you know, reflecting a lot about the Daraisas as well. And either way, they highlight, I think, not only certain things that are singular about Gittin, which we're going to talk more about in a moment, but also the additional chashashos, you know, that are involved, you know, in Gittin. And, you know, number one is lo lahotzi laz, you know, ala get, factoring in and balancing, you know, mishumaguna hekilu rabbanan on the one hand, you know, with understanding that there are isurei, you know, only doraisa, but, you know, kares and you know, the whole institution of Ishus really depends on the accessibility of Gerushin on the one hand, and also on, you know, being, you know, extremely careful about how, you know, all the requirements are implemented for practical reasons, and also because, and this is something we're going to revisit in just a minute, because a get is a matir, a get is more than just undoing the Ishus. As we've discussed, it's really a reflection of the chalos ishus, and it's also therefore, to some extent, like a new creation, not just to get back to pnuya, but the status of grusha, once there's been an ishus, is, according to some, also a kind of chalos, and therefore, like, you know, the being particular about, you know, some of the unique features like lishma, or being, you know, super cautious about, you know, being able to demonstrate, you know, that the shtar is authentic and not mezuyaf or you know, et cetera, you know, these become like outsized dinim that reflect something unique about the, you know, institution of gittin, you know, and what it reflects. So that, you know, broadly speaking, I think what's going on, but in the curious Mishnah editorial choice, you know, to begin gittin in this way. Okay, so the first, you know, the second word of the Masechta is the word get. And that also, you know, opens up, you know, interesting, you know, issues, namely Akiva, regarding. Yeah, meaning the relationship between the word get and shtar. And again, this is a linguistic question, so we're not going to spend so much time on it. But again, it's a curiosity that, like, opens up, you know, our thinking, you know, in a way. And it's interesting to see what, you know, what people say about it. So, yeah, what it's supposed to say, Akiva? Go ahead. Avagav de l'shar shtaros. We, of course, just had this in a way, right? On Rashi, on Gimel Amud Beis, right, last, one of the last things that we were talking about, again, in the meteor topic, was the question of shtar milva, and whether it's a shtar kinyan or a shtar raya, you know, and whether or not the Eidei Mesira Karsi are effective for a Nechasa Meshubadim. Right, don't worry, we're not going to go back to that right now. But, right, so in the Rashi, the Govim and Nechasa Meshubadim, and, you know, of course, referring, you know, also to the question of the Girsa, it doesn't say it explicitly, but Mishas Ksiva, Mishas Ksuva, on the Kuf Ayin Vav, you know, in Bava Basra. So Rashi has the two deos, govin minchasim mishubadim, govin ksuvasa begetze, right, minchasim mishubadim, or inami, what's the other possibility? That it refers to lishnachrina govin minchasim mishubadim, imshtar milvahu govin minchasim mishubadim. But then what does it mean, you know, shlosha gittin psulim? So Rashi says, shtar chov nami kari get, kid amra bialma, right, the get chov she'im bo achrayas. And that's the Gemara Baba Kama. So this idea that a get can mean a shtar is something which, you know, is clear in Shas, and the Rishonim, you know, pointed out. The question is there any, like, significance to, let's say, both sides of this issue? Number one, the fact that, you know, get, you know, is sometimes used when we're talking about regular shtaros. Is that significant? And is it significant, you know, that for a shtar, you know, which is mafkia v'ishus, you know, that we actually call that, you know, more specifically a get? So in other words, basically the question I'm raising, or that the, you know, implicitly that the Mefarshim raise, is like two opposite questions, right? You know, why have a separate name for a get? And, you know, im kvar as kvar, if you do, so how come sometimes we use that same term, you know, in a more universal way? Yeah. So Tosis addresses this. Go ahead. Apagav.
Apagav.
Right, and that's also not true only for a get, right? Although there, you can understand that it's primarily in the context of Gittin, or at least that's the first case. So maybe it's an export, that's a good example, maybe, right? But it definitely applies beyond that. Yeah. Just like the Gemara that I was quoting from the Rashi,
right?
Okay. So basically what Tosis is telling us, as I say, is that two things are true, right? That sometimes the word get, borrowed from get isha, presumably, is used in a more universal way. And at the same time, stam get means get isha, meaning there's something. So there's both something singular about gittin and something that is, applied or more universal, correct? Then Tosis launches into an interesting discussion, which we'll get to in just a minute, but I might as well get it on the record, at least Tosis' initial part of it, right? Okay, so that is interesting. You know, again, this is just like a, you know, a Chassidi Ashkenaz kind of a, you know, a thing, or, like, you know, a good gematria. Or is there something, you know, to it, more than that? I mean, it's obviously something to it. Rabbi Tom's quoting a gematria. You know, just a way of, like, per se, you know, distinguishing Gittin from Shar Shtaros? Or, you know, and again, like, highlighting that even though Get is a Shtar, a Get is a singular kind of a Shtar. Could just be that. Right, or Om Rabbi Natam, right, this goes further. Re Shama B'Shem Rav Haigon. So this is actually a kind of an interesting Tosis, right? So number one, Tosis is telling us, starts off, as we just said, there's a certain dialectical relationship between Gittin and Shar Shtaros, A. B, that is also, you know, reflected in the Tzura Saget, meaning in the number of Shuros, which are connected to the term Get, either to distinguish it, per se, which is interesting, right? And then, this in the name of Haigon and Rav Sajagon, that the 12 Shuros are connected to the role of Gittin as Sefer Krisus. So, of course, that's important. Again, that you can look at it as just like, oh, it's a Remez, you know. Likely, it means more than that. It means that the Krisus part of a Get is not just what the Get accomplishes, but it's part of the, you know, Mahut, if you want to say, part of the essence of what the Get is all about, right? I mean, if we're trying to figure out, like, what is singular about Gittin, and, you know, why it has, you know, certain unique requirements, you know, lishma, you know, davar koris beino leveina in a very extreme way, etc. So if the name Get was chosen to signify a dafka, or the number of shuros are meant to emphasize this idea of krisos, you know, surely that, you know, further accentuates that it's not only what the Get happens to do, like, oh, there's a Get, there's a shtar that accomplishes mechira. There's a shtar that accomplishes milva. There's a shtar that accomplishes, you know, kinyan, you know, karka. And this is a shtar that, you know, is kores beino lebeino. I mean, it might be that's all it is. But, you know, if it's reflected in the name, in an unusual name, you know, it probably means it's not just what it does, but that this is like a critical element that, you know, is responsible, perhaps. You know, it's part of the, you know, the unified theory, you know, of Gittin, and how that works, we'll discuss in just a minute. Like, it's a little complicated, so you can just, you know, say, oh, it's a Remez. But I, you know, we're talking about Rav Haigon and Rav Sajagon, right? These are big, you know, these are big names. So Sefer Krisus, some is reflected, Krisus is reflected in 12 Shittin, because, you know, 4 times 3, which is Mafsik, you know, the you know, the first 4, you know, svarim of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So of course you also have an assumption here about Devarim, which we'll talk about in just a minute very quickly. I'm not going to spend too much time, but you know, it's more of a Monday topic, I guess. But it's, you know, it comes up on Sunday, so we're not going to ignore it. The idea, of course, of Mishnah Torah. But either way, with this idea that, you know, each of the that, you know, the 12 represent, like, just like you're distinguishing between each of the svarim, you know, again, it goes to the heart of a little bit of the Gemara later on in Gittin on Samach Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about, you know, whether Torah Megillah Nitna or Chasuma Nitna, you know, to what extent are the different svarim independent and have each a different character, like the tendency on, you know, in Chazal, and some of Farshim took it further, like to give names, you know, say for Yashar, and, you know, Torah's Kohanim, and, you know, and so on and so forth, and of course, Mishnah Torah, you know, in Chumash Pekudei, you know, and, you know, Shmoses, you know, Sefer HaGeula, you know, to give different names and to speak about, you know, different emphases of the different Svarim, whether they have substantive differences in terms of, you know, how they operate, that would be sensational. That we don't find except for Devarim, which is part of the story here too. There might be some differences in Devarim and others. We'll have to discuss that because Devarim is omitted here. But again, the bigger takeaway for Gittin, we're just going to go back through all these things in just a minute, is that Gittin, you know, is written in a way to, you know, to emphasize, you know, priests, you mean things that are different, things that are, you know, just separation in a way. And that's important. Okay. I should just mention that even in this part, which we're going to get back to in a minute, there's another version of this in the Chidushei Anshei Hashem on the Mordechai, where the 12, one second, is, you know, doesn't exclude Devarim, Mishnah Torah, which is from a Mishnah Torah point of view important. We'll get back to that. But, and also kind of raise an interesting Sucho Stumos question. If you look here, at the, I think I told you, look at Chidushe Anshei Hashem in the beginning of the Mordechai. So it's, you know, Os Aleph, Harav Abram, Ne Ensel, I'm not sure what that is. Kosov Kivinche, Bechol Parsha, Psucha, Tzrik, Tzorech, Lahaniach Shita, a regular, you know, Parsha Psucha, forget about, you know, the separation between Svarim, you have to leave a line, a Shura. So meaning there's like a mini hafsek, you know, in Parshios, that's Psucha and Stuma, or Psucha as opposed to Stuma, right? And obviously that a Psucha as opposed to Stuma is the way of signifying in a Tzura way, you know, that there's a certain independence, you know, a break in the continuity, a pause in the continuity of the Parshios as opposed to Stuma, right? So so this is a very interesting version of this. I mean, to avoid Dvarim, you know, being singled out as something that is unique, doesn't mean that there's a denial that it's unique or denying that it's unique enough or unique enough, you know, for this particular issue. So the suggestion is that either way you have to leave a line. So instead of counting, you know, the differences, you know, the bigger spaces between the four, it's really, you know, between the five. And instead of counting four, you're counting three because, like, the psucha is necessary. Einlim nosa b'shitin shebein sefer l'sefer d'balav haki tzorcha aniyach shiur psucha v'ad yalal chal kol sefer gimel shitin haray yud beis im dalid shal mishn Torah. Then he quotes the Bala Guda, who says that, no, the yud b'imolski is kineget shvatim lomar shehimu teres l'chol Yisrael. That's another interesting, you know, perspective. Like, you know, the Ibn Safchad story, you know, imposed like an artificial commitment, you know, on the Bnos Slavchad only to marry inside their Shevet to avoid, you know, Hasavas Nachala. But per se, you know, and this is something we discussed earlier in the year, right? Get as a Matir, you know, can't have, we discussed the issue of Chutz, you know, whether as a Tznai or as a straight Chutz, you know, and what impact that has on. You know, Reach HaGet in terms of Psalei Kuhura, and whether it has some impact in terms of, you know, Get Shel, Get Me'ava, right, the whole discussion of the Lavush, or expanded according to Psajigon, all those things, you know, are relevant, you know, to this, you know, to this discussion as well. But the point is that, you know, what they're saying is that the Yud Beis Shuros are a way of saying, like, a complete matir, no, you know, krisus legamri, you know, no limitations, you know, to anybody else. And Slavchad, of course, is an exception to the rule. So it emerges, we'll discuss more in a minute, but the, you know, the symbolism, let's say, whether it's the Shvatim or of the Yud Beis Shuros, is, you know, this emphasis on safer krisus, and this idea that, you know, get is a, you know, is a matir, basically, and that it really, the intensity of the relationship between husband and wife is such you know, that the get really needs, you know, to reflect, you know, the exact, you know, opposite. Okay, you know, Yazov, you know, Isha Sada Desimov, you know, the Davak Bi Ishta Vahayu Lebatzar Echad, which, you know, refers to period of Arivia according to Chazal, but also certainly in the Pshat level to the relationship. And the idea of, you know, Eza Kenegdo, and Baal, in halachic terms, Baal Ki Ishto and Ishto Ki Baal, which is about something that is, you know, reflected in, you know, in, you know, in very hardcore halachic categories, you know, like Psuleidos, right, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Baal Ki Ishto isn't just a phrase, it's not just a an aspiration, right, it's a din. The Gemara says, you know, Ploni Baal Ishti, that's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, and that test, that, you know, we treat it as, you know, Baal Ki Ishto, you know, we say Palginan Dibure, because it's like being neid, you know, al atzmo, literally. And that's why we don't say Batla Mitzasa Batla Kula, we say he's a Baal Dabar when he speaks about his wife. And as such, you know, Palgina and Dibure. And then the Gemara, of course, in, uses this phrase also in the third parak of Sanhedrin, where the Gemara speaks about the Mishnah and the Gemara about Elohina Krovin, right? So the Psule Kurva are all, you know, relational, if you're familiar. You know, Rishon B'Rishon, Rishon B'Sheni, Rishon B'Shlishi, Sheni B'Shlishi, you know, all the, you know, however you work it out. That's a fascinating insight also into family structure. You know, are grandparents, you know, different? Is that just the regular, you know, distance in one direction, another direction? It's a very fascinating chapter. It's not for now. But the Baal Ki Ishto part is also very fascinating, meaning Baal Ki Ishto is an exception to Psulei Kurva, meaning it doesn't, in some respects, not all, it's complicated, you know, Baal Ki Ishto doesn't change, you know, the distance, you know, for certain dinim. You can have Kurva Aga Baal or Aga B'Ishto, you know, which in which there's no added number. So this idea of Baal Ki Ishto, of, you know, B'Hayu L'Basar Echad in that sense, you know, and so on, you know, these things are very serious. We talked about, you know, the end of the Masechta, we were talking about, you know, how the Rif ends the Masechta by quoting, ends Gittin by quoting the Gemara Nivamos, you know, about, you know, Mechabdo Yoser Bigufo, and, you know, the Meiri. So this aspiration of, you know, this very tight-knit, you know, existential bond, you know, in the Ishus, which is part of what, you know, is engendered by, you know, the Erisin and the Nesuin, you know, with the Eidei Kiyum, why it's a chalos, you know, all of these things. So you're, you know, you're deconstructing all of that. And one of the things, you know, that we've talked about already and that we have to keep our eyes open for is, you know, you're only deconstructing it, or you have to fashion some new relationship, you know, as a result. Because, like, you can't get back, you can't fully, you know, undo, you know, the Ishus. There are still going to be some remnant consequences, you know, whether it's, you know, Krovim or other things. Obviously, you know, Kahuna, you know, many like Shiurim, with above, meaning Shin Yud Vav Reish, you know, remnants. So again, this idea that, you know, this high aspiration is, you know, responsible for get, you know, being a fundamentally a krisus, you know, not just, you know, technically, you know, Dabra Koris Bein Olaveina, you know, with a limitation on chutz, and, oh, that's what we have to figure out. You know, how technical are these dinim, and minimalist are these dinim, or no, that the sod of a get is that it's a mat here, and that it's maybe even a new chalos, never mind, you know, working so hard to be mat here, you know, the previous, you know, chalos. So this idea, you know, that these you know, perspectives are already built in, like in the structure, or hinted at, in the structure of the get, you know, and as a davar hamafsik, you know, bein ola beina, or they say in the name of the Gra, it's not in Kolel, I think a Divrei Eliyahu, you know, one of the things that, you know, they report in the name of the Gra, that the word get signifies a get, because apparently, again, I didn't do this work, so, you know, I'm taking it by, you know, on faith. Apparently in all of Tanakh, there's no, this is the, you know, the remez of the Gra, there's no smichos between, you know, Gimel and Tess. So, again, what's he trying to say with that? I mean, the Gra was famous for having, you know, argued that you could, you know, if you really knew Torah Shebichsav, you know, backwards and forwards, and in all of its, you know, aspects, that you could, you know, be Megala, you know, call it Torah Kula from Torah Shebichsav. Okay. So anyway, this is one of the things they say in his name, you know, that the reason that a get is a get is because in all of Tanakh, you don't have, you know, smichos between a gimel and a tes. It's the same idea that, of what Tosis is saying, and, you know, in a different way. That and they actually, in the Sefer, in the Kolbo, probably in the Orchas Chaim too, I should just check it out, because almost everything, Kolbo is a kitzur of the Orchas Chaim, but, you know, they just also use, they say that the word get means like a perud, a division, you know, a split. So the point is that, you know, whether it's the yud base, you know, shuros, or it's the name get, or the hint of the gra, or even the, you know, the idea that, you know, it refers to yud, you can marry any of the yud base fatim. All of this is supposed to accentuate, you know, either the krisus, the pirud, the pilug. It's not just a regular kinyan or an undoing. It's you know, an emphatic, you know, dismantling, and maybe even more of the ishus, and a matir that goes along with it. And that is, these are all things that make the get something that, you know, that is unique. In that respect, the idea that the language of get, you know, distinguishes, you know, a gerushin, you know, is very understandable. Again, Unklus, you know, when he talks about, you know, Kosovo Sefer Priestess and so on, you know, calls it get peturin, you know, and some of the Mefarshe Unklus note that he doesn't, you know, translate it as a regular shtar. On another level, we should all remember that in the whole, you know, discussion of Mipiyam Velo Mipiksavam, right? So, you know, how there can be, you know, even a concept or a category of shtar to begin with, right? Which is maybe not a problem for, you know, Rabbeinu Tam so much, but certainly is a big, big problem for the Rambam, you know, Udi Imei, who seem to say that, right, Mipiyam Velo Mipiksavam, you know, brushes up against the very yesod of their existing shtar. So some of the Mefarshim do suggest, I mean, they try to suggest, meaning the, even in the Shakavatari of this reviewing, of, you know, the Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvos, you know, that, okay, you know, you can't, there's no getting out of, you know, Gittin, obviously. You know, the big problems, number one is Gittin, and then, of course, you know, the Hekesh of Havaya, you know, the Atzav HaHaisa, you know, for Shtar Kiddushin, you know, and then of course, you know, Shechur Eved. But the biggest problem of all, of course, is, you know, is Gittin. You know, it's the only way to get a divorce. The only way to interpret the Parsha is that there's something called a get. And again, if at the end of the day you wanted to argue that, you know, that Kesef is Midivrei Sofrim, and maybe, you know, maybe Shtar is also Midivrei Sofrim, again, the Rambam denies it. We discussed it earlier in the year. That's the Rambam's letter to the Chachmei Meluniel. They basically said to him, you know, like, you know, im kvar az kvar, if you think Kesef is Midivrei Sofrim, because it's derived, you know, not Mefurish Bakra, like Uva Allah, but, you know, because of Kicha Kicha, so then why don't you say the same thing for Shtar? So the Rambam denies it, though. The Rambam says, no, you can't say that. And it's fascinating what he writes. and we discussed it. But the point is that, you know, if there was one shtar that is, or the biggest, the most acute problem in the Rambam, of, you know, there has to be a shtar that is daraisa, is certainly gerushin, it's certainly gittin. So the idea that umklus translates it differently, that, you know, that Chazal, you know, chose not to call it shtar but to call it get, in addition to, you know, the remuzim, you know, that are connected to that, whether it's the word itself. Some people point out that the word in Aramaic, get, also means pirud, you know, in addition to, you know, what I was saying before. That seems to be what the Kolbo is saying. Maybe based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, I think it's the Kolbo in Simen Ayin Vav, by the way. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph, uses a form of the word gittin as a ksav preda. But again, so, you know, the bigger, you know, idea in all of this is that even though get is a shtar, and it's like, on the one hand, get is like the father of all shtaros. And, you know, again, in Torah itself, it's the only shtar. You have to go to, you know, Yirmiyah, you know, for, you know, b'kasa b'sefer b'chasom, b'ha'id edim, sefer mikneh, you know, that whole discussion. So on the one hand, it's, you know, the avtipus, let's say, of shtaros. And in that respect, we could totally understand why, you know, there's something called gitei mamon, because there's an overlap. There's an overlap because of the impact, you know, of get. You can make the argument that if it wasn't for get and the need for a get, you know, maybe there wouldn't have been other, you know, shtaros, you know, dorais. We know that, you know, shtar shechrur and, you know, shtar mechira and, you know, all these things are doraisa, you know, but, you know, the idea that, you know, gittin is kind of the mechayiv or the koveya, not just a reflection that it exists, is very, very a compelling argument, not muchrach at all, but something to think about. So on the one hand, get is a avtipus and a paradigm, and it's, you know, in that respect, what it farms out or what it shares with, depending on your point of view, if it's a mechayev, what it farms out, you know, or exports to, if it's more the common denominator, so it's just the common denominator. But even then, sometimes get is given extra prominence because of the special status that it has. And at the same time, you know, stam get and the idea of referring to it often, most often, you know, as something that is different, is very reasonable, you know, as well. You know, get, you know, combines, you know, kinyan and matir, and it changes the status, you know, in terms of isar. So a lot of that, you know, gets farmed out to kiddushin, you know, not the matir part. Well, like maybe the hetari shalabala, but, you know, some of it to Ebed, Ivri, and Ama Ivriya, and Ebed Knani, etc. And then, of course, on the next level to, you know, kinyan and dinim ominous. But in the end of the day, it's, you know, it's both common and, you know, and singular. Pnei Yeshua has a comment, which of course is just true, and that is that, you know, even the language of the get is second person, not third person, which is atypical in shtaros, like the Edom are kilu addressing, you know, the Isha. And that's something that, you know, is part of the matir part, for sure, that's what I'm saying, and part of what makes gittin singular. So, again, the focus on Dasa Mischayev and the Tzibu Yabal and the Law Lishma, and the fact that, you know, it's Bal Korcha, all of these are elements that we've seen that make Geirushin unique, but they also make the get unique, because the get ends up embodying a lot of this. And in our last topic, I was suggesting that, you know, maybe what the Rambam really has in mind in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel, you know, and then, you know, Tesvav Tezayin, and then all the other ones, you know, Tes Chav Zayin, and Dalid Chav Aleph, and, you know, and Aleph Yud Kes, and all the other ones, is that, you know, the convergence in the Shtar Geirushin and its, you know, Eidos, you know, between you know, the shtar part and the maisa gerushin part and the edei kiyum part, meaning what it accomplishes, you know, and what it, you know, is a paradigm for other shtaros, you know, is part of the singular story of get. So, you know, if you ask, like, what's in the word, obviously, I don't know if all this is in the word, but I'm just trying to suggest that the idea that we have a, you know, on the one hand, an independent way of referring to a get, and at the same time, that sometimes, occasionally, we use that phrase, you know, also in Dinim Aminus, the remez, you know, that it refers to very specific, you know, very characteristic, singular aspects of what the get does, you know, all of this, you know, would seem, you know, to fit in very well with, you know, with the broader picture of get. Okay, so that's ha'ara, you know, number one. In terms of the, you know, the Yud Beis Shuros, it's also just, there's an interesting discussion, several interesting discussions about it very quickly. One is, you know, how, you know, seriously we take it. You know, how, like, what if you deliver again? It doesn't have, you know, 12, you know, lines. You know, is that a posel, the get? Is this just a lechatchila? Like, is it something that we take, you know, very seriously, you know, or something that's, you know, more like a, you know, like a you know, kind of a weaker, you know, remez. So that seems to be already a discussion in the, again, Bali Tosfos have it. You know, they don't say that it's ma'akev. The Rush, you know, seems to consider the possibility that it might have been ma'akev. Although, you know, mishumaguna hikilu, and, you know, it says, ends up saying that if anybody have a language, that if you're bum, imerchakim, like the Rush seems to say, you can't, you know, brazenly, like, ignore, you know, the nine shuros, you know, of a get. But, you know, if you do, not brazenly, you know, it's certainly not going to be... Yeah, but it's like, go ahead.
Beget she'inu misurta b'yud b'yishitos, oshel o nechta b'ksiba ashuris, murbas o shedukos osios, poslam b'yar seinu...
Actually, so he has more, and we'll get to the other things in a second. Right. So what, number one, it's yud beis shuros.
Yud beis shuros, ashuris murbas.
Ashuris murbas, we'll get to in a second, but that, of course... goes to the next point that I want to speak about, or the point after the next point, which is, you know, what kind of ksiva do you, what kind of formal writing do you need, you know, in a get?
Right.
Okay, so the idea that you would, lechatchila, require this formal script, you know, of ashuris mirubas, you know, is, of course, again, we're not going to go through all those things, a lot of them are second parak, you know, topics, but as we already, I already made allusion to it, you know, but we'll speak about just briefly at least. Yeah, so that, you know, that's not the tzura, that's the ksav.
Right.
Go ahead, what else?
And dukos hosios, dukos hosios, meaning
mukefas gvil. Mukefas gvil. So he, what does he say about all of them? He puts them all in one category, which
right.
is interesting.
Post lim biartain. So he says that, lachatfila, there's a, he wouldn't accept that gap.
Right, so that's fascinating, of course, and that, you know, makes it sound like these are, you know, these things are more than a remez. And that they are, they contribute something to the formalism of the get and to the message of the get.
Right.
You know, obviously, the more, we'll talk about this more in a minute, but, you know, the more you require, like, formal writing as opposed to simply conveying, you know, your das, you know, that fits in with the picture, you know, of trying to be, you know, trying to not just undo something or reflect, you know, an attitude which, you know, mimela, you know, is responsible for something becoming undone, right? The more heavy lifting you require, the more formal dismantling or creating a different, you know, status, the more you're going to require formal, you know, procedures, right? So the Torah does say, we'll get back to this, we're not going to, again, you know, we'll try maybe another time later on, but we're touching it now only. But the Torah does say, you know, the kasav, you know, and it does call a get a sefer, the sefer krisos. So, you know, how much, you know, that really imposes. What about Sirtut? They have it there?
The Lashon in the beginning is Get She'inu Misurtut, Yud Bishitos.
Oh, so he doesn't discuss Sirtut directly there, but we'll see in a moment. Other Rishonim do, and of course, you know, the Poskim do. So, Ashuris, Mirubaas, Sirtut, the Gemara talks about, you know, Choktochis and Chokirechis, that's the Gemara on Daf Chaf. You know, Omid Aleph. We already mentioned that the Gemara speaks about Ksav al Gabe Ksav, you know, about Gittin. You know, there's a lot to talk about. The Korea, and Roshem, that's also the Gemara's on Daf Chaf, Omid Aleph. You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, this, you know, in talking about get, you know, Yachal. And the question of, you know, Makarin Lahem and so on and so forth, right? So these are all, you could be Mechalek, but these are all Mukav Gevil, right? These are all issues of formal Ksiva, where the background is, you know, like, what do you need in a Sefer Torah, right? And what do you need in a Megillah? You know, and what do you need in a Ksivas, you know, Mezuzah or Megillah Sota or, you know, what? You know, you wouldn't have these questions typically in a Shtar Mecher, you know, unless you felt that, like, Gittin was an Aptipus because you just, you know, you just, it's about conveying, you know, your instructions. But, you know, if the get isn't just a Shtar, but it's a get and it's a Matir and it's, you know, all these things, then this all becomes possible. And the Rush, you know, reflecting Ashkenaz, you know, takes it very quite seriously, right? He would be posel, not midaraisa, but he would actually be posel again. Yeah.
When it comes to these questions, would it be more relevant to the principle of kol mishanami?
Mishanami tivo, yeah, mibabesh tivo chachami. 100%. But number one, a lot of these things are not. You know, they're not in the Gemara, as we'll soon see. Like Yud Beis Shuros, and again, it's not in the Gemara, which we'll see in a moment. The language of the Rajba, right? The Rajba says, "I think you should be respectful. You know, I think you should try to do it." But you know, lo nimsa b'shnei atalmudim. No. So number one, these are all things that are not, you know, explicit in the Talmud. It's hard to say, you know, that they come. That's a question. But what comes under the rubric of kolam mishanim me'obdeish and tivuchachadim? Secondly. You know, we know this already from, you know, the discussions of Gimel Gittin Psulim, both on Pei Vav Amud Aleph and on Gimel Amud Beis, you know, and elsewhere. And that is that even things that are in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, you know, as the Bali Tosis, who Bali Tosis sometimes say, like what happened to, you know, Matbea Shetevu Chachamim. So their answer is, yeah, but not everything was created to be Ma'akeh. I mean, if it was created to be Ma'akeh, you know, then that's the case. So what we know from, you know, Matbea Shetivu Chachamim, you know, in general, is that the Chacham have that capacity. It doesn't mean that everything, you know, that is meaningful or preferable, you know, comes on, you know, achieves that level of status. So it still becomes, it's important to know, it's a factor, you know, but it still becomes critical to figure out, like, what kind of thing is this, you know? Is it just like a Hidur? You know, is it something that touches on you know, on distinguishing it and you know, conceptually symbolic, you know, about what's really happening here, etc. So it's a great point, but it's also, you know, it's not going to be difficult, you know, to skirt, even if it was Medina de Gemara, never mind, you know, these things that are more like Minhagim, you know, that are Rosh. Yeah, so what does he say? Yeah. So this is actually, you know, and again, even the way he writes it, you know, lo hayisi poslo, and it's pretty qualified, meaning, you know, mishumaguna, eretz merchakim, like, you know, this is the only way to get this get done. There's a huge counter pressure here. Like, are we going to hold up this get? It might be the only time that we can, you know, do this in the proper way. Also, Davar Shabikdusha, you know, because of, you know, these dinim that don't appear, you know, in the Gemara. So the Chiddush is not so much, I mean, clearly there were those who actually would have been posel. Even in this, you can see from the language of the Rosh, and we know this. But even the Rosh is taking a very reticent, you know, attitude. Correct? Contrast that with the Tshuva Saraj, but which also is very respectful. Yeah, but they're, it's like, go ahead. What's this, the question? And then this is more expansive. And more.
Right, so his question is just on Sirta, Matam Sarav Sirta, Bishlo Yuosus Tugosu.
So that's Mukav Gvil and Sirta. Again, I don't want to go, I don't want to get bogged down with all this now, because we have other things to do. But I'm just trying to, you know, but just even as we're touching these Makoros now, you know, to, you can see that there's a range. Like some people are Makil in certain things and Machmir in other things. You know, it's the very interesting, the combination is very interesting. Yeah, so he speaks about Sirtut and Mukav Gvil. Go ahead.
So da, ki atam hum yishum dukasa of Sefer Krisos, to kol shenekra Sefer Tzarech Lasarate.
Right, it's also interesting that in the choice, and you find the different formulations of here also, you could have said that some of these things are midin Sefer, and some are midin the Kasav. Right, that's something also to be thinking about. You know, what's midin v'kasav and what's midin sefer? Yeah. So, anyways, kol shenikra sefer tzarech lesartet.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm reading Gavu Megillah. Tzricha sirtut kavitusha Torah. Yishum deikri sefer. Who adin v'da'adu v'kaosios minatam azad deboi v'al makif kol os v'os. Ma'afagad v'kad v'lon v'kerabonan da'amri parak amitim.
So this is, of course, a big issue. Namely, is that what Sefer means? The Gemara doesn't say that Sefer is responsible for Sirtut. Sirtut doesn't appear in the Gemara with regard to a Gem, right? And either does Mukav Gvil, frankly. Yeah.
The Sefer is Sfiras Dvarim, who does.
Because that's the Sfiras. And what does Sfiras Dvarim mean?
That's just that has to tell the story of the...
The content, yeah. Meaning the not the form... Not the not the tzura of the and the formalism, you know, of the get, but the story, the Sipur HaDvarim. Although, according to some Rishonim, right, even that is somewhat expansive, right? I mean, Sipur HaDvarim doesn't just mean to tell the story; it also may mean to tell the story in a more expansive, you know, way. For example, anybody? The Ramban. Who just said that? Yeah. What does Ramban say?
The Shemos.
Exactly. The Ramban and Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, something we discussed, I believe, either the last or second last year of the previous semester, right, says that, you know, Shemos will be Doraisa, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, not just Muchach Mitoko for Rabbi Meir, right? Maybe they wouldn't have been Muchach Mitoko for Rabbi Meir if they weren't, you know, Bidin, because the Ramban is actually... less a Muchach Mitoko Rab Meir man. On the other hand, he thinks that even for Rabbi Eliezer, there's a din of Sfiras Dvarim, which requires Shemos Min HaTorah. So Sfiras Dvarim, you know, is not always, you know, has its own history, you know, which we hopefully will get a chance to talk more about. But, you know, the Pashtus, you know, does it mean... So again, does the fact that Sfiras Dvarim, if Sfiras Dvarim would say ups the ante... In terms of the content, would that have like an implied, yeah, because this is a sefer, you know, so would that have an implied, you know, extension, at least l'chatchila, or as a kiyum, you know, on the tzura level? That's an interesting question. Yeah, go ahead. Mikomakom
came in the after Achmona, but Lashon Sefer, my dekas fili abdino kisei.
That's kind of what he's saying. But he's not connecting it to what I was saying, is especially if you hold like the Ramban or people like that. We think that Sfiras Dvarim, you know, is not just, you know, what you don't need, you know, like, oh, it's just like the basic content, the story, but it means, you know, also heightened, you know, requirements, you know, for the get, part of the mater, the get, part of the unequivocal, you know, nature or involved in, you know, formation of the get, you know, so maybe that implies also tzura, but he's saying no. But basically what he's saying is close to it, meaning... Even if there's no limud, and even if it's used, there's no stira between sinks, Sfiras Dvarim, and yet, not, you know, treating this like a sefer. Yeah.
V'yafagav, the dvarim elu in lahem ikram yidin ha-gemara. Ma'adrav yishpazeh min ha-kushyos.
Yeah.
Afilu hachi ba'erva ha-mur b'torah sarach lachosh l'chatchila kedei shelo yamu beisin v'ya'ar
So I wonder, is that only, I mean, the way he's saying it, the erva, if some people, you know, think this is a kpeda, so what, it's like a tyranny of bad menhagim, that people have this, and therefore for that you should, you know, be machmir. Or is this his way also of saying, like, these additional requirements, in this case, like having formal writing, or formal, you know, tsuros, you know, they go to the heart and core of, you know, of being matir erva. Meaning, you know, this isn't just a shtar that, you know, that reflects das amagarish, as important as that is, and explain, you know, and in a more explicit way, but it you know, is a matir. It's a, you know, it's a get that does, you know, that transformative things. And therefore the idea that it would not, you know, the chatchila require a certain, you know, stature of ksiva makes a lot of sense. Again, it's not a davar shebekdusha, it's kind of safer that way. But let's also remember, you know, the language of the Yerushalmi, right, in Kiddusha. Right? What's the language of the Yerushalmi in Kiddusha? What? Sheyehe... Yeah, exactly. You know, one more time. Yeah, but it's trying to contrast, like, the you know, the need for get, the Noach, the need for get, you know, and for Yisrael, and what Gerushin is for Ben Noach, right? So again, this idea of, you know, not, again, it's not a davar shebekdusha in that respect, of course, but it's the opposite in some respect, but this kedusha to the way, and there's a formal, you know, structure to the way that you undo, you know, this davar shebekdusha. In that respect, doing it the right way is this davar shebekdusha too. Yeah, go ahead. I mentioned that. I mean, again, these are not, you know, it's Tosis, but it's, you know, Tosis is the Rosh, it's the, you know, the Rajba, yeah.
Right. Nevertheless, lo matzasi kein be'acha b'na talmudim, v'lo b'shul makom, v'afilo hachi kimen shetiknu kein ha-machabrim, v'am shomenu l'chatzchila, afo pishayin ha-inyun hazeh, ma'akim.
Yeah.
That's not in Kosovo, ala ala shozayis, ala shozayis, imbo k'nil sartik, bo shem asur shita.
Yeah. So that's also, of course, very interesting. But okay, I mean, what things of these, you know, are we going to export and whatnot? But certainly between the, between, you know, the Rush and the Rajba, you know, the tone, both of them agree, la halacha, that these are not ma'akev, but, you know, clearly the Rush is far more cautious, you know, and far more apologetic, you know, about not being ma'akev, whereas the Rajba, you know, is also very respectful of these traditions, you know, but, you know, there's no havami that's going to be ma'akev. Yeah.
Rabbi was saying in the second day of Tosfos about the hefsek between the sifrei in Chumash, that's about the krisus element, but it could also be that highlights the sefer element, meaning being medame and get to a sefer Torah.
So, but why? Yeah, but except that you know, what about, why is it, why are we emphasizing particularly the hefsek? In other words, the idea that like mukaf gevil or ksavachuris, or, you know, chakirechis and not, you know, rechos, not chaktochis, you know, that those things are reminiscent of the Sefer and Sefer Torah, I think, or Sirtut, I think, you know, are directly, you know, understandable. Why are we dafka emphasizing, you know, the hafsekos? That's the only thing.
I mean, that's more much like Christmas.
That's what I thought, yeah. Okay. So, again, it's interesting on the Yud Beis Shuro side, you know, there's also another interesting argument. The Marsha, Alatar, when he quotes his Tosis, if somebody could get that open. says that the get is called a get because of the yud bei churos. It's interesting. I mean, that's the cause. Whereas the Tosfos Yontif and the Maram Shif say the opposite. You know, there's yud bei churos, you know, because there's, you know, a shame, the name of get. So again, just, you know, just to, remember, somebody have that, the Marshal, you have it, David? Yeah. You know, which came first, you know. So basically, he says the Yud Bei Shuros is the cause of calling it a get. Yeah. So there's an interesting, just, you know, secondary argument, you know, which causes which. So in a way, I think the Marsha's emphasis, you know, really highlights, you know, that whatever it is that the Yud Beis Shuros accomplish, you know, is you know, what characterizes or what distinguishes, you know, get. So this idea of, like, you know, emphasizing Sefer Krisos, you know, whether it's the, yeah, whatever. Whereas the Yud Beis Shvatim, that whole bit, whereas, you know, for the Maram Shif and for the Tosfos Yontif, it's more about, like, distinguishing get, you know, from other shtarah. Like, there's a din in its own right that, you know, get should not be grouped together with other shtaros, so we call it a get, you know, and as a way of emphasizing that it's called a get, you know, we have Yud Beis Shuros. Unless I think that the get itself, you know, signifies, you know, that, like that grah or the, you know, kolbo, you know, or things like that. But, you know, absent that, it's almost like, are you looking to, you know, are these manifestations of get is different? Or, you know, is the particular message or symbol, you know, one of the reasons, the reason that get is different that you're eccentric? Okay, a small difference, but an important difference. On the question of Mukav Gvil and all of that, as I said, that's, you know, also an interesting argument. So you have that in the Mordechai or the Shilta Giborim, possibility of distinguishing. When it comes to Sirtut, let me just mention that very quickly. You can see that some of the Rishonim were very open to the possibility of, or L'chatchila, certainly, of a get b'sirtut. We'll talk later in the year about Sirtut. Comes up in the Gemara here. But, and of course, it's a very important issue for Megillah. Tosus and Menachos, and Daf Lamid Beis, in the Stam Gemara is there. You know, Tosus says there's no din of Sirtut in a get. Mordechai here. Now, Tosus is pretty emphatic about it. Tosus rejects Sirtut in a get. Beis Shmuel in Evan Ezer actually seems to suggest that Sirtut might even be Ma'akev, you know, in Gittin. Minat Torah might be a requirement, he thinks, part of the Sefer. So you have two extremes. You have, you know, Beit Shmuel, and you have, you know, Tosfos and Menachos Lamed Beis. And then, of course, you have, you know, the Rajba, the Rosh, a group of Rishonim who are, like, sympathetic to the cause, you know, but they don't think it's Ma'akev. And how, like, much of an effort you should make for it also seems to be arranged. You look at the Mordechai here. Yeah, does everybody have it here? With the Mukav Gvil. Yeah. The Sugya Daf Hei Omid Beis, that's what the Gemara has, you know. The Gemara says whether or not you need you know, to watch every, whether the Edom need to watch every line that's being written in a get, is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know, obviously it's a good thing for standards, but, you know, it's, you know, once you have that practice, if people don't do it, so it could be motzi laz al gittin or rishonim. I said there's a certain dialectic. You want the gittin to work and to be effective, right? And we, you know, we're terrified of being motzi laz al gittin or rishonim because of the implications from mamzerus and so on. And at the same time, we want to have very high standard for gittin. So there's always, yeah. So anyway, the Mordechai here, and this is the Shulti Giborim, you know, has it as well. Pasak b'Sefer Truma. Sefer Truma, of course, is one of the Bali Tosis. Right, the Ein L'Zayin. This is the question of whether you need Tagin. You need Tagin in a get. Right, so Pasak b'Sefer Truma. The Ein L'Zayin beget Osil Shel, you know, Shat Nizgats. Those are the ones that, you know, typically require Tagin. Kamosh Olsen B'Sefer Torah. So do you need that or do you need that Mechatchila for a get? Similar question, right? Of course, you could be Mechalik, but Ke'en L'Shano Saminug Penyotzi Ulaz Al Gittin or Rishoni. But otherwise, again, it's part of the dialectic, you know. Just like if you need, you know, Ksabashuri Mirubas, you know, so maybe you need Tagin as well. But of course, that's very formal writing. You know, that's like implying, like, you know, this is a sacred document. But oh, im yargilu lasos tagin yesh harbe min hasofrim shein bikiyin lasos v'yasa gedolos kein makalos v'kalkalu ha'osios barova makomos. Like sometimes, you know, you know, it's more trouble than it's worth. People are going to, so it's A, motzi laz, I'll get to the Rishonim problem. Number two, just like, you know, takanoso could be kalkalaso, in the sense of if people aren't qualified, you're going to have problems. L'chein tov lachdol milazayin velasos keminak. Yafal pishatzor shetehei kol os mukepas gvil. Right? He sounds like, that might even be ma'ak. He sounds like it's ma'ak, eh? Right? Hainu taima, the osios hamadubakos niros achas Oiniros os lemishen mavchin ma ben oze ma ben chaverta lefikach nogu lahafresh. Right, avav below tagin nikroinos va tagim ledrasha in boy. He's mechalek. Right, tagin are not a din in the shame os. They are tsurasa os, but they're tsurasa os l'shem drasha. Like Rabbi Akiva was doresh. Tilei tilim shel alachos. The Gemara says in Menachos. On Kol Kotz Shal Yud, and the Tagin and so on. So this is a chiluk between Mukav Gavil, which sounds like it's more, of a core requirement, and Tagin. Amnam, Reb Rav Avram, Haymedak De Kivin Shalei Yischayv Aleim B'Shabbes, Im Yichdevim Below Zion. The Gemara in Habona sounds like, sometimes sounds like the, if you read that Gemara, that Tagin, is a shiur in Ksiva B'Shabbos. Kimish Batam, Kedisa Perkabonim, Kelo Mikri Os below Tagin, Oy Matza Kolasos Tagin, Kimbo Psefer Torah, Och Isa Perkabona, Niskavi Lichtavos Achas, Olub Yadar Shnayim, Chayim, where the Gemara says, Hod Boy Ziyune, Hod Lo Boy Ziyune. Che Matzasi, Bediva Rabbeinu Baruch Mimagensa, Baruch Mimagensa is a Sefer Truma, by the way. Shekasa v'tarch sofer lizar lichtov k'siv ha'shlema u'mizuyenes kol os ve'os b'ziyuna v'shol l'chaser afilu kotzo shol os achas kilo yekosev tfilin u'mizuzah u'b'sefer ha'truba kosev da'ahu da'abona le'shom ed'amayri b'sefer Torah b'makamachir. Is of course an interesting Shabbos issue, and that is the Sefer HaTruma himself is mechalek. Sefer HaTruma says if you're writing a Sefer Torah, then the Hagdara of that Ksiva or of Malachas Machsheves in that context is that you conform to the requirements of that. Shenskaven lichtov kemishpat Sefer Torah. So, which is also interesting, only when you're writing a Sefer Torah, or let's say you're even practicing, you're trying to write like a Sefer Torah. So then Hilchos Shabbos, in other words, is malleable the first view is that Hilchos Shabbos is koveya the hagdara of ksiva. And therefore, if you need ksiva for gittin, you know, then you look to Hilchos Sefer Torah. Even then, of course, you can be mechalik between formal writing and, you know, more pragmatic conveying ideas kind of, you know, writing. Okay, but now what he's pointing out also is that Hilchos Shabbos is a big issue. For example, is ksav ashuri a requirement? That's a discussion in the Or Zeruah and the halacha, whether ksav ashuri is a requirement for ksiva daraisa, you know, or not. Okay. Aval b'mokom acher lo achi perusha hod boy asofa lizune kagon sefer Torah, right? Hod lo boy hakosev, you know, lizune. Aval idividi myri kashal biyado lichta beis osia shel tzarich ziyun, right? Ilo hayu b'sefer Torah. Lo kamer haosia shedinam lizium, you know, etc. Either way, what he's trying to say is to be mechalek. But, you know, is mukav gvil really also just a din in formal language, where even if it has to do with, like, you know, legibility, it could be that there are levels of legibility, you know, that are koveya formal language, like you have to have a certain standard. But again, if you're just trying to convey something, then it's not clear that even mukav gvil should qualify. So what I'm just trying to show, again, similarly, the Gemara does make the chiluk, and up kofam and aleph when it comes to chok tokos and chok yirichis, that's nifsak lahalach on the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, you know, to be mechalik between chok tokos and chok yirichis, because of the requirement, you know, of sefer or bekasav. What is fascinating, though, is then the Gemara discusses korea and roshem and up kofam and aleph, and if you look at the Rambam in his psak, you know, he seems to allow, like, Korea, Roshim, you know, and then all the Rishonim attack the Rambam and the Nosei Kalim, you know, on the Rambam as well. Like what's going on? Why all of a sudden, you know, doesn't he have these requirements? What is it, Perik Dalit Halacha Zion, just to highlight the point, and then I'll take the questions. Now, when it comes to chakika, the Rambam says chokka kaget al aluach. This is paradal halachavav. O ala eben, o ala tas, shel mateches, mchafar yurechei haosios, kosher. Shazek savu, harei omar suva beit barzel, klomar shu chofer. Bechinim chokka kayurechos, mechorei atas, ad sheboltu mifnei atas, avle mchafar tochaos. Like if he carved out the inside, right? Ad sheiro hayurechos gvoos mikana mikan kiksav dinare hazav shaksav bolet enoget she'ein zeksav. That's based on the Gemara, but it's still, if it wasn't for that Gemara, I would think it would be mechudash. Because either way, of course, you have clear clarity, you know, in the person's and the guy in Hilchos Shabbos, actually ksav tochos and ksav yurechos, a very interesting issue. If you look at the Tzmach Lokos between the Rajba and the Ran in Parakabona, you know, whether we make the distinction, and that's a famous comment of the Ran, you know, that, you know, the Ran says that Melechas Makshevas Asra Torah is the reason why Chok Tochos, even though, you know, in Stam and other places it's not considered Ksiva, but, you know, since Ola Makshavto, that it'll work in, in Shabbat. It's one of the examples. I don't think we've, you know, when was the last time we discussed this? But that's been a
Chulin? I think it was
Baba Kama.
It
came up in Baba Kama and Daf Samech.
Yeah.
So, meaning the din of Melechas Machsheves, Asra Torah, as we know, appears in Shas in a few places. Most of the time, like in Chagigah and Shabbos, Ein Gimel, and so on and so forth, when the Gemara typically says Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah, when was Bava Kama? Like 4 years ago already?
Wow. Yeah, I thought I was in Poland to be definitely discussing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So mostly all the in the times that it appears in Shas, with the exception of one time, it always appears as a kula, meaning Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah, and therefore Mekalkel is Potter or Misaseh. You know, is potter. You need a higher level of focus and concentration in order to be asur. The Gemara in Baba Kama, Sama, Chomet Aleph, when the Gemara talks about, Grama, the Gemara says that even though we're talking about Leva, Veliv, Saruach, the whole sugya there, Eish, so the Gemara says, even though you might think that this would be Grama Bialma, right, Zora, actually, the Gemara says, Gemara's talking about Leva, Veliv, Saruach, the Gemara compares it to Zora. So the Gemara says, basically harnessing the wind, to accomplish, what you want to, accomplish. So you throw up the stuff and, the wind, so like Melech HaZora. So the Gemara says, you can't bring a raya from Zora, because really, really it's Grama. But since Melech Tzmachsheva is Asra Torah, so it's, it's Asr, anyway. So that's the one place in Shas, again, I make it sound more... I mean, it's not like it says Melech Tzmachsheva 30 places, but in the other places, in Kwisos and in Shabbos, and so it's always a Kula, and here it's a Chumrah, meaning, but again, you might say that it's a special din in Zora. That's just what we mean. That's the Shem Malacha of Zoras. That's the Malacha is harnessing. Zora isn't, accomplishing, spreading, whatever. It's harnessing the power of wind, before, T-bone, Pickens, came to it. I think we talked discussed him at the time, right? He's no longer, with us in the world. But solar wind power is still like a big dream, and it's like a blight. They're taking all these farms and turning them into wind farms now. But we'll see. But the anyway, so that's it. So the Rishon in the Balei Tosis in a bunch of places in Sanhedrin, Daf Chafav, and Moed Katan, they don't say, "Oh, we're basing it on the Gemara," but some of the Balei Tosis and some of the Chachmei Sfarad also occasionally apply Melech Tzmachsheves as a Chumrah, not as a Kula. So one of the examples of that is the Ran in Abone. Says that chok tochos normally is not considered ksiba, where you need formal ksiba, and therefore in Hilchos Shabbos, you would think that it wouldn't work. And that's what the Rajba kind of argues. And the Ran says, no, but it's Melech Tzmachsheves Asra Torah. And since this is what he wanted to, he wanted to convey, how he wanted to convey it, so that is Koveya. So it's interesting, because again, we're talking about Gittin here. Is Sefer, is Vekasav, how much of it is dependent on, Mukav Gvil, Sirtut, Ksav, Ashuri, Mikareya, Roshem, Koktochos, Kokyareches, how much of it is... So typically Shabbos is considered to be like a paradigm. For the Ran, it's the opposite. But, and Koktochos is an example. So the Ramam Paskins, anyways, but the Ram Paskins of Chotokos is no good at a get. That's based on this Gemara, Dav Chafo B'dal. But then in the next halakha, he has a Makareya al Ha'or, Tavnis Ksav, Osha Rosham al Ha'or, Tavnis Ksav, Areza Kosha. Close to a get, Bechol Ksav, Bechol Lashon, Get Shekosu B'Ksav Min al Shonos, Be'ed of Kosumin B'Ksav Acher Kosher, Hushi Eid of Makirim Lashon Ksav B'Ksava. I mean, Ram actually is very liberal in some of these issues that we're talking about. So the Magen Mishnah, really the Ran and the Rishon, the Chachmei Sfarad, Al-Atar, part of this is in the Yerushalmi, Hakorea Al-Ha'ar, B'yesh Tema Rabbeinu, Lama Hichshir Shneim, V'olani Tema B'zesh, Yukasa Perek Yud Aleph, Mihilcha Shabbos, Hakorea Al-Ha'ar, Kitav Nisksav, Chayiv, but Haroshem Al-Ha'ar, Kitab nisksav potur. Amusha roshe malaor eno ksav. Imkein lamar babakan kosher. Veni ode bazet tam nachon. Then he says, maybe you got it from Ola. Everybody thinks Ola is the proof. So the point I'm trying to make is, without going to so much detail, because there's a lot of detail, you have to look at every one of these, issues separately. Tagin, Mukav Gvil, Savashuri, Mikareya, Choktochos, Roshem, Ksavogabeksav. Ideally what you would do is, what do you need in Stam, and the different levels of Stam also. Sirtud, of course. What do you need in Stam? you know, what do you need in Nichol Shabbos? Is Nichol Shabbos like a kol shekein or the opposite, right? Difficult question. And then, like, you know, what do you need in get, you know, and why? So there are discrepancies, but I think the bigger idea is that, you know, the more we think of get as, you know, being something more transcendent, meaning accomplishing more than a simple shtar, more than just dismantling, more than just conveying das hamagarish, even if it's embodying das hamagarish, but the das hamagarish, as we've explained, it's all front-loaded, so it's all, you know, this embodiment, the tzibui abal, the das hamischayev, the writing of the, you know, the ksiva itself is something, you know, of a megaresh, and it's all about, you know, being matir and being, you know, mafkia the kedusha sa'ishus, or creating a shame, you know, a grusha, or being matir and so on. The more we can understand that you would, you know, have these things that are coming from the world of formal ksiva, whether it's Ochel Shabbos or Sefer Torah, etc. We're going to have to stop in a minute. So this is kind of the broad idea of all these categories, you know, things to think about. Nine shuros, you know, the symbol, you know, and the difference of the language of get, etc. Agav, you also have this really interesting discussion about, you know, Mishnah Torah. Yeah.
Just on that last point, just seems like an important thing. So what is the common denominator that Rebbe's trying to draw between, like, get on the one hand, which is the transformative factor, and imbuing kedusha to things like stop? In other words, because there.
Well, again, the common denominator is twofold, I think. Number one is, you know, formal writing. You know, what they both share in common is, but formal writing is always.
You're not creating kedusha in get.
Right, you may be mafkia kedusha though, right?
No, but still, that's going to be very different.
Whether you're being mafkia kedusha or you're being matir, either way, what you're doing is something that goes beyond, you know, simply, you know, your rotzon, as an expression of das, and it's something that's, you know, that's accomplishing more than simply conveying your intention and your interest. You know, that's where formal writing, you know, comes in. Now, in the case of Sefer Torah or Tefillin or Mezuzah or etc., or even Megillah Sota, you know, which is like, you know, it's also a davar shebekedusha, but like in a negative way. So there, the formal writing is because of kedusha, you know, more directly. But that's the reason that you need this, not just to convey, you know, it's not enough to say the words or to know the words, but like there's a tsura to the words because the document, you know, is more, you know, than simply a registering or a record, you know, of Dvar Hashem or you know, or a text, you know, in the case of Mrs. or Tefillin or Megillah Sota, etc. Right? In the case of Get, even though I was mentioning, you know, the Yerushalmi about, you know, Ben Noah, I'm not suggesting that it is a Dvar Shemekdusha, right. But what I am suggesting is that it's a, you know, it's more than recording or registering what you want to do. It's more than even the Bidea Shlema, but there is a formal element of it, and that, you know, is requires, you know, that's what we mean by mat. When we talk about something as a mat here, we don't mean that the result of it is heter. And I'm using the word mat here in a, like an emphatic way, you know, in an alumdisha way, meaning it does more, you know, than it should. Okay, it needs to do more, you know, than simply, you know, open the door, you know, so you can walk in. It needs to push you in. It needs to overcome something. And that's what we mean when we use the term, you know, matir. So part of being a matir may require, let's say you have to, you know, formal language, you know, a specific nusach, a specific tzura, you know, it's a get as not just, you know, the physical embodiment of your ratzon, but of your das, and as a matir, and as undoing of the issues. That's what I mean by it.
Which means then that in some of these things, like Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, a lot of the formal requirements are not so much in like creating the effect of being a davar shebekedusha, but transforming it from a chatzah into something more.
Yeah, although some things may be related to the Kedusha too.
Right, right.
Especially things that are left. Like, if that's what I'm saying, if you're like making boxes or a list or, you know, a graph or whatever it is, like, you know, like the comment that, you know, like Tagin is about, you know, drushos. You know, it's not even about like a better, more formal, let's say, ksa. So there are no drushos in the get. You know, unless you think that's what we're doing. But I mean, our drushos in the parsha of Gittin to tell you what you needed to get, but you're not, you know, this, the idea of you know, comparable to darshaning, you know, Shin Panama Torah, etc. You know, you don't have that, obviously. You know, you don't need Rabbi Akiva to be Doresh, you know, on the get. You wouldn't want him to. Sure, he wouldn't want to. He probably more than anybody would have wanted to, right? So, you know, he's the one who said Shir was, you know, Kovach Kavashim, and, you know, Shali, Mishalachem Shalah. So, you know, anyways, but the, you understand what I'm saying? So there's certain things that are probably related directly to Kedusha. I'm not suggesting, by the way, as a parallel interesting issue, I think I did mention in the past, you know, the famous, you know, discussion of Rabbeinu Tam about writing, you know, the name of, the original name of let's say a non-Jew, you know, in a shtar. And what kind of shtar? A get, you know, he said about get, right? Like, you know, that, you know, it's not appropriate, you know, to have, you know, shame most muvhakim of a guy, you know, in a get. Like, it's a very strange halacha, right? So to what extent, you know, do you look at certain shtaros as, you know, legal docs, a legal document, or like it's a holy document, like it's a big issue about ksuva. Like, they're obviously very adamant, you know, that a ksuva is a legal document. You know, it's not a religious document. And, you know, like, he didn't like that people, even though people do, it's like Minhag Yisrael. I wouldn't dissuade people from doing it all. A, because it's Minhag Yisrael. B, because I'm not sure whether I agree fully with this. Like, you know, if they say like B'siyata D'Shmaya or Baruch Hashem, on the ksuva, he said, like, it's a legal document. It takes away from, I mean, I understood what he was saying too. Like, you know, it's you have to know it's a serious legal document. It spells out the, you know, the relationship of husband and wife under dire circumstances. And as such, you know, so, you know, when you know, treat it too much, you know, like a religious document, that could detract from that aspect of it. However, you know, people always ask, like, you know, should you hang it on the wall? Should you, you know, what should you do with it? You know, so that's a perspective that, you know, one should be mindful of. You know, they all tell stories also, because I don't know if this is really so true, but I've mentioned this to Kassanim in the past, you know, that, you know, with the Rav of Masada Kedushin at weddings, you know, sometimes he didn't like the Nusach HaKsuba, so he'd, you know, rewrite it on napkins, you know, at the chassid station. And that's a you know, something that I heard. I never, he was Masada Kedusha at several family weddings, and, you know, there were, none of them were written on napkins, but it's a fascinating idea. So that, you know, I was always thinking in a bit of a, like, humorous way, that, you know, in a way that was like Lishitasa, because, you know, if it's really just a legal document, and, like, you know, you shouldn't be like over sentimental about it, you know, then I guess you could write it on a napkin, you know. Whereas some people, you know, like to. I happen to be a big fan of the ksuva as a, of course, a legal document, but I've discussed this in the past, as, you know, as having, you know, playing a, like, an important role, you know, in terms of Kedusha Seishus, and, you know, the Rambam's view in particular, that, you know, even if ksuva is Rabbanan, but the yisod of ksuva, Mar Yomarenu L'Isha, and so on, you know, that's a din d'oraisa, because it, you know, it adds value, it adds confidence to the, you know, to the relationship. And, you know, Shalei Kalabein of Lotzia is just like the bottom, that's like the bare minimum. But really the idea is, you know, to build the trial. I've discussed this in the past. So that's why I like, in addition to the Tshuvas Rashi explanation, that you read the ksuva to break between the Erisin and the Nisuin, which I also like also for reasons of Eirus and Nisuin and the role of Ksuba. But I think also just very, it's very inspiring if you understand what the Ksuba and understand it that way, that you read it under the chuppah. Because, you know, some people think, well, you know, it's pretty jarring. You know, in the event of death and divorce, this is what's going to happen, you know. Zonos and so on. But if you really understand that it's a key of the Ishus, you know, so then... So as such, the idea that it has, you know, it's not just a document, you know, with a pragmatic purpose, but that it's, you know, it's really a key of the Ishus. So the idea that you would treat it also, you know, with greater, you know, sanctity, I guess, in addition, not to detract from the Mabinus part, but to me, it makes a lot of sense. Anyways, but there have been a time of this thing about, like, names in a get that you shouldn't, you know, you should use, you know, names that are more conducive as a davar shel kedusha. So I always thought that was also, like, very fascinating, very much related to this, you know, to this question. So there's a fine line between, you know, understanding that this isn't just ritual, but it's law, and it's, like, you know, it's hardcore, you know, mishpat, in terms of taking it very seriously, you know, and perceiving it that way. It's a legal arrangement, a legal agreement, you know, it's not something to be trifled with, it's not, you know, at the same time, seeing it as a kiyum and a davar, you know, shebikdusha in the case of ksuba, or as, you know, about the chalos that you're dismantling, or the new chalos that you're creating. I think that's a very fine line. But all these issues, including that Rabbeinu Tam issue, I think are part of that line. Okay. I'm very late already, so I'm going to stop here. But I do want to speak about, maybe I'll speak about it tomorrow before we get to, about Mishnah Torah just for a couple of minutes, because I think that's an interesting, you know, the Chidushi Anshe Hashem as opposed to the Tosis. So let me talk about that maybe tomorrow. And then let's pick up on, where are we in Mar Makomos? We do Eretz Yisrael a little bit, right? So then let's pick up with this Tosis here, Dibur Maskel, the Ashkelon Kedarum, and the Ramban, and the Ritva. I'm calling the Rebbeinu, what they call Rebbeinu Kress, because I'm calling the Ritva. Ritva is very interesting in the language. And if you get it, you know, the Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, and some of the Rambams about Eretz Yisrael, just very quickly also, and then we'll move on to, what's the one after that? Fani Nakta, Fani Nakta, Shliach LaHalacha, Shliach LaKabbalah. Right, and then after that, some stuff on Kim Staris and Panina also. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay.